Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Let's get straight to the docket today. Will Michael Avenatti have a better week this week, his trial starting? Second, two people can keep a secret only if one is dead. Third, these two guys need help. Fourth, sentencing for an Omaha man who killed the neighborhood sex offender. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First, I'd like to thank everyone who joined us last night for our live show, as well as all our Patreon members who joined us for our Patreon show. I think we had a good time. And just as a reminder, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. That's right. And don't forget, we're having a little contest. So if you share last night's video on Facebook, the first 500 people will draw one name and they'll win $100. And we'll do that up to $500. So five drawings for people that subscribe, like, and share the live show from last night. I know, we're just trying to get the YouTube numbers up. And I know some of you don't watch Facebook. I get it. They engage in censorship like lots of platforms. I get it. But what's the best way to punish them? That's right. Let's take their money. So if we're monetized, then Facebook is going to be paying us. There you go. Not trying to be too cynical, but that's just the way it is. All right, let's get to the docket today. Remember Michael Avenatti, you know, the big famed attorney who represented Stormy Daniels? Well, he kind of crossed the line, tried to extort money from Nike. Unfortunately for Mr. Avenatti, somebody at Nike knew somebody at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and bam, next thing you know, he was indicted. Kind of started a spiral downward for Mr. Avenatti. He was sentenced to 2.5 years for that extortion case, and he'll have to serve that, obviously, in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Well, Mr. Avenatti had some other problems. He still has the trial for allegedly stealing the money from his client for her book advance. That's right, Stormy Daniels. Can't steal client's money. And then he has a case that's starting today in federal court in California. What's he being charged for? Well, he has a 36-count indictment that includes counts of embezzlement, wire fraud, tax evasion, bankruptcy fraud, and bank fraud. Now, the trial taking place concerns only the wire fraud counts, and the other charges will be tried at a later date. Why do they do that? Well, the wire fraud is probably the easiest for the jury to consider, as well as the easiest for the prosecution to prove. And the bifurcated trial would take place. The counts have been severed. And normally that's because either A, the defense is raising claims that I can testify as to these wire fraud counts, but I may have to assert the Fifth Amendment as to these other counts, and therefore let's sever those out. Or there's an allegation that the other counts are so prejudicial that it'll result in an unfair trial. So we'll see how things go for Mr. Avenatti as the week progresses. The gist of these particular charges are that he was stealing clients' money, usually from settlements, and he was not paying them. Does that sound familiar? Tom Girardi? That's right. It seems like a lot of these personal injury, mass tort lawyers really start thinking that the money is going to last forever and live well beyond their means, as it has been alleged that Mr. Avenatti, you know, was spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for a lease for a house near the beach driving his Ferrari, but yet he couldn't pay his clients. Something is wrong there. I don't think Mr. Avenatti is going to have a good week. We'll give him the presumption of innocence, obviously, and we'll see how things go. I think Mr. Avenatti needs to get used to his current living situation for more than the next 2.5 years. Have you all heard the phrase? I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said it, that two people can keep a secret if one is dead. Well, let me give you an example here. Two sisters have been charged with the death of, guess, that's right, their father. Mary Bess Tomaselli, she's 65, and Linda Roberts, 64, were living with their father. And he liked to basically take long walks on the beach, and he would like to have a drink before he went to bed. His favorite cocktail was a little vodka with his Diet Coke. So when Anthony Tomaselli passed away at age 85, no one really thought much of it. In fact, everyone basically just said, given his medical history and his prior bout with cancer, that he died of natural causes. Well, fast forward 4 years, and apparently there was an unidentified man that was engaging in sexual relations with both of the sisters. That's right. That's right. With both Mary Beth and Linda. And at some point, Linda couldn't handle the guilt anymore. Linda called the unidentified man and stated in a voice recording that was made by this man, saying, "I can't take it anymore. I killed my father. She told me the man," he recalled. "Well, we did. We did it together." That's right. The sisters did it together. Well, both Linda and Mary are pleading guilty to second-degree murder, all because Linda couldn't keep her mouth shut to their boyfriend. That's right. Now, certainly, we are not condoning anyone killing anyone. Just for anybody that has any doubt, we're not encouraging such behavior. We're just simply saying there's certain things in life, human nature, people are going to talk. They can't keep a secret. So the best thing to do is don't commit crime. Just say no to crime, okay? Is that clear for all the people out there who thought that we were encouraging people not to take their phones? Really? Come on. I'm just telling you how people get caught. The sisters were apparently spiking Anthony's evening cocktail with what they thought was a lethal dose of sleeping pills. Now, this is from transcripts and interviews with the detectives, but apparently the drink only made him groggy. Then they placed a pillow over his head and he fought him off. Then Mary Beth apparently told the detectives that Linda then said to her, "We have to go get a washcloth and put it in his mouth, and one of us is going to have to hold his nose. And we had to finish what we started." After Anthony stopped breathing, they removed the rag and they both went to sleep in the father's condo. They called 911 in the morning, and Linda claiming she attempted CPR without success. They knew he was dead, and everybody played along. The sisters stated that they were just putting him out of his misery. Well, except he wasn't in any misery, because he enjoyed taking his long walks on the beach and having his Coke with vodka. Now, the father's remains were not available for examination, because they quickly had him cremated. And the sheriffs even admit, just like I stated, that they probably would have got away with it if Linda hadn't run her mouth to this guy that she met in a bar. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why there's so many cold cases out there that can be solved, because somewhere, someone knows something, because someone has said something. People just can't keep a secret. It drives them nuts. Just like in this case. These two sisters are going to prison, ladies and gentlemen. So just make sure it's all clear. Don't go harming anyone, okay? But the moral of the story is no one can keep their mouth shut. And even the police said, not just Scott Reich, even the police said, if she'd kept her mouth shut, they would have got away with it. I wonder if the sisters still talk. I doubt it. Next on the docket, these two guys need some real help. All right, we got two different cases here. Do you remember the case of David Nims? That's right. He was a pastor at the Calvary Baptist Church. He was the youth director. He was arrested back in June for having hidden cameras in the bathroom. That's right. Not good. Well, guess what? He's been booked on new charges because they've discovered 100 more files of photographs with children on his laptop while executing a search warrant. Guy has some serious impulse control issues and needs help. Then this guy, and we're going to give him the presumption of innocence, but he is in some serious trouble. 18-year-old Crossley McEachin, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Well, he apparently saw a victim, and we'll refer to him as that, refer to her as that, because her name is not being released. Well, the victim apparently woke up naked after having previously gone to bed with clothes on and found out allegedly that Crossley McEachin was engaging in sexual intercourse with her. Yes, if there's not consent, what do we call that out there, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. That's called rape. So Mr. McEachin is a star football player back in Ohio where he resides and was on his way to go play football in college. I somehow think those plans may be delayed. He has been charged with allegations of sexual assault, and he will be appearing in the court in the future. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. There may be two sides of this story, but as a general rule of thumb, ladies and gentlemen, you can't engage in intercourse with other people. You can't even touch somebody's rear end unless they really consent, okay? That's bottom line. You can't touch other people. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't have sex with people unless they're okay with it. Otherwise, it's called sexual assault. It's that simple. And I don't know. I just don't get these guys that want to have sex with people that are asleep. Couldn't even imagine it. Doesn't even sound like it'd be that much fun. You'd think you'd want both people to enjoy it, don't you? Just weird and creepy. So although give Mr. McEachin the presumption of innocence, he may want to get some counseling. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the odd docket, an update. Do you remember James Fairbanks? That's right. He's the Omaha man who basically went over to a known sex offender's house in his neighborhood in Omaha, Nebraska, and told him to leave because he was getting a little too close with children in the neighborhood. Well, then Mr. Fairbanks shot Mr. Matteo Condolucci, who is 64. Well, shot him 7 times. One could say that was first-degree murder. Ultimately, Mr. Fairbanks pled no contest, which is the court's way of saying, I'm not saying I did, I'm not saying I didn't, but I'll accept the responsibility for the charge. Well, he was just sentenced to 40 to 70 years in prison. Some people would say too much time. Other people say, no, you can't kill anybody, whatever. But the prosecutors apparently thought that it warranted a second-degree murder charge, not first-degree murder charge, because one would argue that after the first trigger pull, that was all done after deliberation. So a couple of lessons to be learned from that little incident. Know who's in your neighborhood. You should know that. But you can't do vigilante justice. That is a crime. You have to go to the authorities. And although Mr. Condolucci was apparently playing with children in the park, he apparently hadn't done anything wrong warranting calling the police. That would have been a much better way to handle it in a civilized society. But I'm sure everybody can empathize just a little bit with Mr. Fairbanks' situation and anger, but you can't go around harming people. I think we've been pretty consistent about that, right? Don't steal people's things, don't have sex with them unless they consent, and certainly don't shoot people unless they are threatening you with serious bodily injury or death. Have we made that clear? And for those of you who thought that I was somehow wishing that guy named Harvey, as he landed in a private jet at Millionaire, which is the FBO at the airport there in Los Angeles, that I wished him well and good health, that was sarcasm, okay? That was sarcasm, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the comments, you just simply cannot believe them. You really can't. So let's move on. How about our dumb criminal contestant of the day? You've heard of don't feed the bears. How about don't throw the alligators? Please meet our dumb criminal contestant, William Hodge, 32. He's a fisherman, and he was arrested the other day for trying to fling an alligator atop of a building. That's right. When Hodges attempted to launch the alligator and it failed, the reptile slammed to the ground and then he stomped on it. When the cops approached Mr. Hodge, he raised his hands up as if he were giving up and was going to be taken into custody. Asked what he was doing and why he was throwing the alligator, he said, "I was trying to teach it a lesson." No one's exactly sure what lesson Mr. Hodge was trying to teach the alligator, but Mr. Hodge has been charged with animal cruelty, possession and injury of an alligator, unarmed burglary, theft, and criminal mischief. And he's being held in jail on a $4,500 bond. Upon further investigation, officers determined that Mr. Hodge removed the alligator from an enclosure at the Congo River Golf and Exploration Center, which is a golf course that offers patrons the opportunity to feed and hold the alligators. So it's unclear whether Mr. Hodge was bitten or whether somehow the alligator ate his putt-putt golf ball. We'll probably never know. But Mr. Hodge, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. Don't feed the bears. Don't throw the alligators. Mr. Hodge, if you are selected as a dumb criminal contestant of the week, got some tough competition, you'll receive a mug. You can do whatever you want with it. You can throw it. Just don't throw it at the alligators. All right. If you'd like your own mug, hit the link below and get all your Crime Talk merch. All right. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. Have a great day.